This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, mock draft injection time. And this is kind of fun because now, depending on the position, we've got quotes from anonymous scouts on all of these players. From Bob McGinn of Tyler Dunn's website, golongtd.com. So we'll, in this exercise, if you're new to the show or you happen to be listening this segment when normally you're not in your car listening at 7:45, during draft season each and every day, Seth and I pick a different mock draft to explore and see who they've got the Texans taking. See if we can discover any trends. Give Seth a chance to break the guy down a little bit when he's watched them on film. Seth's watched a lot of these guys. And sometimes we get the gift of a multi-round mock draft like we have today with Josh Edwards of CBSSports.com. And that's always interesting because you're like, all right, the Texans do this in the first round. Then what does day two look like? And so we can, at least from a positional standpoint, because maybe the lower down you get in the draft, the less granular the scouting reports need to be, probably, for people out there. So we do this every day is what I'm saying. So this is Josh Edwards, CBSSports.com. So we're going to announce the pick, and then we'll pull up some of the commentary that the anonymous scouts have about said pick. All right, so we ready for this, Seth? I'm copying and pasting the link. So I got the anonymous scout quotes ready to go. All right, Ben, hit that sounder. With the 25th pick in the Josh Edwards 3-round CBSSports.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Kelvin Banks. Offensive lineman, University of Texas.
So Kelvin Banks is like many offensive tackles in this draft that people don't know quite whether they're going to be an offensive tackle or an offensive guard or a guard in the NFL. And with Banks, it's easy to think about him as a guard because he's a guy that's better as a run blocker at this point than he is as a pass protector. And he's got strength. It shows up in the run game. Like, you'll see so many times where he just keeps driving his feet. He's got his body positioning is good and everything. He doesn't quite hold up to power as much as you'd like to see an offensive tackle hold up to power against some of the better guys like Mikal Williams and guys like that. I'd be very happy with this pick. I know our Longhorns all love Kelvin Banks. But there's a little bit of a projection there in having him play guard. But with the 25th pick especially, I'd feel really good about this. All the things that keep him from being a top 10 pick aren't things that are impossible to achieve. It's not like he's not athletic enough or anything. Like Tyler Booker, I understand the guard from Alabama. People are concerned about the fact that his overall athleticism doesn't seem that great.
Yeah.
Calvin Banks, you don't have that same concern. So I would, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to step in and start day one, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Here's what Scout Anon, the anonymous scouts, say about Calvin Banks. Let's see if you agree with this. He did play left tackle, but this is one scout. He did play left tackle, but he's got sort of a right tackle's features. He's not perfect, but he's got the size and strength to both block in the run game and enough size and foot agility to protect the passer. If he fails at left tackle, he'll be a right tackle. He has the most value of the tackles in this draft.
Yeah, I know there's another one. One of Lance's anonymous scouts said, I wrote him up as a guard for us. The game, Lance Zierlein's, the game he had a freshman against Will Anderson was maybe the best game of his career.
Yeah.
So that's not one of Bob McGinn's anonymous quotes, but I guess I shouldn't have presented it like he's definitely a guard. He has that ability to maybe project either. Maybe they start him off as tackle or let him compete at guard and move him out to tackle eventually. But there's a lot of upside with him. Like even in his. Some of the things where, when I say he doesn't show strength as a pass protector necessarily, I think a lot of it's more rooted in technique and things that can be improved, and he doesn't look like a guy who's afraid to work on his technique.
Mm-hmm.
The intangibles and everything that you would worry about are all there. I think what might make some Texans fans nervous is that, much like Kenyon Green, he's a guy from Humble who is a better run blocker than he is a pass protector. There's certain things, there's some similarities in the scouting report that if you think too long and hard about it, might make you feel like, wait a second, is this another Kenyon Green? I think he's a different type of athlete than Kenyon
Green.
You
just triggered some Aggies, man. Or some Longhorns. Yeah. Some Longhorns, I should say.
You just
compared our guy to an Aggie.
I am not comparing them. I'm saying there's some similarities that people, when the nerve is still raw there from Kenyon Green.
Oh, like narrative-wise.
If they see it when they're looking at scouting reports and everything, they might feel a little bit differently. I think Calvin Banks has more athletic upside than Kenyon Green did.
I'm going to read two more scouts on Calvin Banks, and we'll get to the other picks that Josh Edwards made here. One that mentions guard, and the other one is a negative review of him. And I just want to see what your thoughts are on these. Another scout said this. He does look like a guard, but let him fail at tackle first because those are harder to find.
Yeah.
Do the Texans have the time to allow Calvin Banks to fail at tackle before determining? This feels like something you would be doing on a 3-win team. Like, okay, well, we're still in a building mode. The Texans are in a mode where they want to go win a Super Bowl now.
No, I think that right now you give him a chance to get on the field at guard.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you've got a young project in Blake Fisher that might end up starting this year, might not, but he's there as your swing tackle for now. I mean, Trent Brown's on the roster. He's coming, for those of you who haven't heard us talk about this, Trent Brown is 6'8", 360 pounds, coming off of a torn patellar tendon.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting Trent Brown to be an option early in the season, but they've got options at tackle right now. I think if they drafted Calvin Banks, they would give him a chance to get on the field at guard first.
Yep. Okay, here's a negative review. Tell me if this scout is off base, because you've been largely positive about Calvin Banks and discussing him here. Scout said this, quote, I don't see it in this guy at all. Big dude, average athlete, gets beat a lot, falls off blocks, not very strong, not very athletic, has issues in space, he'd have to be a guard, end quote.
Right, yeah, and that's where I think that's where you try to figure out over time. You know, with offensive linemen, you see this a lot. There's sometimes guys where it just looks like, man, just like a kid that has his growth spurt when he's 15 years old, it takes a while for him to learn how to control all that weight and all that height and everything, and that the upper body's not quite connected to the lower body when they're moving.
Yep.
That's what Calvin Banks looks like at times, and that's where it's hard because it's a big projection. Okay, is this something that he's going to, with technique and experience, he's going to get under control? If not, then yeah, certainly he's got a better chance at guard than at tackle. But again, that's also why he gets picked 25th overall instead of 10th overall.
If these glitches weren't in his scouting report, he wouldn't be around for the Texans at 25
in the first place. Yeah, that's where the none of these guys at 25 are the perfect prospects, because that's why they're available at 25.
Yep.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the other three picks here real quick. We'll just rapid fire these. They've got Josh Edwards has, with the 58th overall pick, Darius Alexander, a defensive tackle from Toledo. That would be out of character for Nick Caserio, just because it's Toledo and not a Power 4 school.
Oh, yeah.
Right? 79th overall pick. I like this one. I want the Texans to take a running back sometime in the first 2 days. This is a good one. 79th overall, Caleb Johnson, running back of Iowa. That's one of the top three or four running backs in this draft. And then with the 89th overall pick, Charles Grant, offensive lineman, William and Mary, which would be way out of character for Nick Caserio. That's not just non-Power 5. That's FCS right there with William and Mary. But Charles Grant is visiting the Texans. If not yesterday, then I think today. He is one of their 30 visits that they're doing. Charles Grant, the offensive lineman out of William and Mary. That would feel a little bit like the Julion Davenport pick, Seth, back in 2018, where I think in the fourth round they took Davenport out of Bucknell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it wasn't Caserio.
What happened to Julion Davenport?
He might still be floating around the league.
Didn't he play a good spot? Yeah, yeah.
He was starting.
Miami?
He was in the Tunsil trade.
He was in the Tunsil trade, and I think he ended up starting a fair number of games.
He played for the Colts a little bit, too, after he left here. I'll look it up during the break. But there you go. There's our mock draft injection for today.
Running backs are fun because they are the best for the highlight reel that you watch after your team drafts a running back. You always get super, super, super excited about them.
Yep.
And it's hard not to. I don't fault anybody for that. And yet, running back might be kind of like offensive line. Man, you just flat out don't know until you see him do it versus the NFL. I was talking to John Harris about this yesterday with the offensive lineman. I was telling him, like, man, I get such stress trying to figure out how I feel about offensive linemen, because every single one of them has a lot of flaws. They have a lot of things they need to clean up when they get to the NFL. The best example that people have seen here locally was Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle for the 49ers, first rounder, came in for a combined practice versus the Texans, and J.J. Watt just destroyed him. And McGlinchey ended up being a very quality offensive tackle.
Paid,
in the NFL.
Man.
Got big contracts with the Broncos.
Yeah.
But they've just got so much stuff they have to clean up, and it's a lot of projection. It's just a lot of projection. And at the other positions, it's easier for the positives to show up early on, where at offensive line, it's the negatives show up first and immediately, because you could have 60 good snaps in a game, but those flaws when they show up for five snaps end up, you know, in a 3-sack performance.
All right. Speaking of Scout Anon, you people have loved this quiz game the last 2 days. Seth Payne reads anonymous scout quotes about Texans players, draft picks, current and former, and I have to guess. Play along with us in your cars coming up next.